All right, if you got your Bibles out, as you can see, turn to Joshua. And we're going to be in Joshua here in just a minute. That way you'll be in the right spot for us. Although, just looking at that, yeah, that's not right. I didn't do a very good job of typing in this week, I guess. So Joshua 3 and Joshua 4, not Joshua 13. In Joshua 14, but that way it'll make it easier for you to find. You can get there faster. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had quite a spring at First Baptist Church with just all of the things that are happening, all the things that have been going on. And a couple of weeks ago, I preached a sermon entitled, "What Now?" After we went through revival, after we went through Easter, after we went packed the house Sunday, we had three or four Sundays just right there in a row, and when all of that was over and done, then I preached a message about what now. I think for this morning, the question I would ask is not what now, but now what? As I think about that with seniors, I remember those days. It's been a long time ago. I can't believe from the class of 1987 to, what would that be, 32 years, is that right? 32 years. The class of 1987, by the way, I just noticed down here this morning with Marshall wearing his Altus Bulldog blue robe. That looks so nice. I like that. It looks good. I like it. But at any rate, when I think back about it, I remember being a senior, and I remember I talked with Cameron this morning a little while about how you look so forward to being a senior graduate and that senior year. Hey, look at me right here. Hey, is it not amazing? You know what's funny is every one of your heads were down except for two of you. But it's interesting because you're all looking for Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. All right? Okay, and then it goes like this. 1, 2, 3. All right, Jana, you got it? That's how it still works that way. So that's just how it works, all right? Okay, but here's what I know. Hey, did you notice how fast your senior year went? Does it seem like it went really fast to you? Some of you nod your head yes. Some of you kind of don't know. Camille doesn't remember. So I can tell from that look on your face. You are a senior. Okay, it's been a year. You've been a senior this whole time. All right. But I remember when you look so forward to getting there. And then when you get there, you kind of can't help but be a little bit apprehensive. That you think, now what? I know you got college plans or you got plans to move on and do whatever you feel like it is that God's gifted you to do. And I hope you've spent time in prayer to decide what that next step is. If you haven't, the good news is you got 3 months to decide it. Start praying today. Let God be a part of your plans. He's got great plans for you. But it's amazing when we look at it and we kind of have a little apprehension when we look at it and go, okay, now it's a big step. And so I wanted to share some things with you this morning that I hope will help you. When we look at somebody in the scriptures that I think they had been prepared for where they were, but when all of a sudden the time hit that he became the man, I think he can't help but stand back and go, okay, now what? Many of you know the story of Joshua. I would say the same to all of you this morning. This is not just for the senior graduates. I guarantee you, almost every one of us in here this morning in some way have some kind of thing that's happening in our life that we have some apprehension about. Every one of us have something that's coming up, whether it's with our children or with ourselves or with our job. I wonder this morning with our seniors that are saying, hey, I'm graduating high school. Now what? I wonder this morning if there's any of us that say, hey, my marriage is not exactly what I wanted my marriage to be. It's not what I pictured. But now that I'm into it, now what? By the way, if you weren't here Friday night, you missed out on a wonderful, spectacular time of marriage night. Not only do we have almost 100 people here, about 50 couples, but we had a great time, some good insight, the things that happened there, some great snacks, some good fellowship, and some good laughter from Michael Jr. And so maybe one of these days we'll get to do that again. But I wonder how many of us this morning, even that maybe would look back even at our kiddos, regardless of whether they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, or maybe they're 30 or 40 or 50, and we just go, hey, they're not living by the principles that I taught them, by the things I raised them. And now what? Maybe they're living more by my actions than they are my words. And now what? For some of us, we just go, man, it's summertime again. Now what? Because we know that summer starts a whole new phase of life for all of us. And then summer looks like it's here today and gone tomorrow, and boom, we're right back into school and right back into things and going. And I wonder if some of us even would be here this morning and go, hey, when I look back at my life and what I thought it would be like when I was 15 or 18 or 25, I wonder if any of us look back this morning and go, I am blessed beyond what I ever imagined, but now what? I would tell you, I think that's for me. I'm blessed beyond what I ever imagined when I was growing up. I'm blessed in the ways of friendships and in so many different ways, but I also think this, if you are still here, and when I mean here, I mean on earth, I want you to know that. Not if you're here, but since you're here, I want you to know this. God has another step for you. If God were finished and you had fulfilled everything that God appointed for you to accomplish on earth, if you had accomplished all of those things by now, I want you to know you wouldn't be here. God would take you on to be with Him. So the fact that you are still here tells me that you got other phases, that you got other stages, that you got other steps. So you might be asking yourself this morning, for me, now what? When I think of that in the scriptures, I don't think there's any greater example than the story of Joshua. As you remember, the Israelites had been in captivity in Egypt, and God sent Moses to talk to the Pharaoh, and God did plagues, and finally the Pharaoh turned the Israelite people loose who were slaves, and he just let them go free, even as slaves. He just wanted them gone finally. And so Moses takes them out, and they're headed to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land the Bible calls Canaan. And Moses begins to lead the Israelite people, and then they get out there and they're not faithful and they go through all kinds of things and they have to stay in the wilderness for 40 years because they are not faithful to have the faith and the trust that God will provide and God will protect and God will take care of and that God has a plan for them. What now? What next? And they don't exercise their faith in God. And so God says, hey, I'm just going to leave you in the wilderness till that generation without faith dies off. And in the process of that, Moses gets old. But Moses has had a protege all this time named Joshua. And Joshua begins to step in just as it's time for the people of Israel to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. Now Moses dies at the end of Deuteronomy, at the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 34. And can you imagine for Joshua, even though he had been prepared for this time, even though you've worked to graduate from school, even though you've worked to have the job you have or to be married to who you're married to or to have the children that you have or to have the responsibility you have, even though you're at that point and you've earned it and God's blessed you, you can't help but think, whew, this is not exactly what I expected. I wonder what it was like for Joshua when Moses went up on the mountain, looked over in the promised land, and God said, you'll look over there, but you'll not go. And it says that God buried Moses. So Joshua goes to bed one night as Moses' helper, the right-hand man. And he wakes up the next morning as the guy who has to follow Moses. Now, if it's not enough to be in charge of all the people, he has to follow Moses. Spectacular when you think about it. Look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who had served Moses, and said, my servant Moses is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving to the Israelites. See, they've been on this journey for 40 years led by Moses, and now all of a sudden Moses dies and it's Joshua's turn to lead, and God says, get ready, we're going. Moses is dead. Now what? Can you imagine not only having to lead all of those people or getting the opportunity to lead all those people, but even at that to have to follow Moses? Have you ever followed anybody at your work that was really good at what they did? For any of you, do you have older brothers and sisters that you've heard them say more than once, hey, why aren't you more like your brother? Now, I had an older brother that he was pretty studious. He did well. He's a CPA today. He was really pretty organized in a lot of things and did a lot of things well. And I got to tell you, more than once I had somebody say to me, how come you're not more like Jared? Jared wouldn't have done that. You know, for us, follow people at different times in our lives, whether it's our job or maybe an older sibling or whatever the case may be. And the hard part is following after Moses. Can you imagine Moses? Can you imagine following Moses? It's like no matter what Joshua does, people are going to go, well, yeah, you Joshua, pretty impressive. You're probably going to get your own book in the Bible one of these days that tells your life story, but you're no Moses. Don't you know he heard that more than once? Can you imagine just going to bed the helper and waking up the leader? Can you imagine in your whole life getting up every day and going to school and now all of a sudden, no more school? Now you may go to college, but college is all different than high school. For one, you get to make your own decisions, which coincidentally is what you've really been wanting all along. Isn't it amazing that what you really want is to make your own decisions and do your own thing? Isn't it amazing that what you really want to do at your age is make your own decisions and do your own thing? And you know what's crazy? Is that God knows we make lousy decisions and He still lets us choose. God still lets us choose. You're going to get a chance to make those decisions. And you're going to figure out some of those decisions aren't as easily made as you think. And some of them have a lot of weight to them. I think it's important when we look at it and we see Joshua moving forward at this stage in his life, one step at a time. I think it's interesting that he says, my servant Moses is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Prepare to cross the Jordan. The Jordan River was wide. The Jordan River was huge. It's the time of the year when the Jordan River would flood. It's a big thing to cross over the Jordan. This is the Jordan River. This is not a creek. This is not something that you just wade across. There's a lot going on there. And when you get to see it now, when we got to see the Jordan River a couple years ago when we were there, it was small enough. Now, several of us got to be baptized in the Jordan River. In some places, the Jordan River, you could step across. But in the flood season, it's a huge flowing wide river with lots and lots and lots of water. That's the time of the year that they're moving across. I think God planned it that way so that he would have an opportunity to grow their faith and teach them something new. But I think it's interesting that he said one step at a time that he prepared them to cross the Jordan. He didn't tell Joshua, now when we get over there, there's 12 tribes and you're going to have to divide up the land among all the 12 tribes. And you need to know this, no matter what you do, you are not going to please them all because they're all going to want the same parcel of land. I don't think he even said to Joshua, hey, now, Joshua, you need to know when you cross over the river, the first city that you're going to come to over there is one of the most fortified cities of the day. It's a city called Jericho, and you're going to have to conquer those people, so get ready. You see, we get sometimes thinking too far down the road when God says, hey, one step at a time. Can I tell you that you cannot be faithful in step number two and step number three until you've been faithful in step number one? And the step that he gave Joshua first was to prepare to cross the Jordan. I think that's significant for us to know. Hey, I would tell you for each of you, you've been prepared. Now for you, you've been prepared in class. You've been prepared in life. You've been prepared by each other, by friends, by mentors, teachers, by your moms and dads, hopefully by people at church. But it's the same for all of us. You've been prepared. But then I think it's interesting. When we think about Moses is dead, now what? I would say this to you. Moses is dead. Prepare. For you, for where you are, for your next step, what do you need to do in that next step to get ready is to be prepared. Some of that is things that you've done over the years. Some of that's things you did yesterday. Some of it's going to be things you do today. But God continues to prepare you, and you continue to prepare yourself so that you can take your next step. Now what? That next step, number one, you got to be prepared. I'd say this to you. In a lot of ways, and this crew out here will amen me when I say this to you. You have looked at this as sort of an ultimate goal to get to your high school graduation. But I'd tell you this, you are not done. You are barely getting started. You're not done. Now, I know we all look at that and go, hey, that's a pinnacle to graduate from high school, and it certainly is. But I'm going to tell you this. Man, they barely shot the gun for the race to get started for you. Okay? It's going to happen fast. It's going to come at you quick. Now, it's interesting for all of us out here that we would amen that, and I'd say the same to you. I just turned 50 in March. I'm amazed at the people who say to me, you're still young. When I was your age, I thought people died at 50. It's amazing. It's all a matter of perspective. Okay? I am a whippersnapper to some people, but I'm an old geezer to some people. Okay? I just say to you, you're not done. You're only getting started, so be prepared. Number two, not only is Moses dead, now what? But I'd say this, there is a river in front of us, now what? So the people, if you look over in Joshua chapter 3, look at verses 1 through 6, it says, Joshua started early the next morning and left the Acacia Grove with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you must break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Then he said to the priests, take the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people. So they carried the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of them. Hey, there's a river, there's an obstacle in front of us. For some of us, we look at our next step and we go, hey, it's not just a matter of crossing the river, but not just moving forward, but there's an obstacle in front of us. It's a river or whatever the case may be. I would tell you this, the details are important. Look in chapter 3, verse 3, it says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Now, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was that golden box that we see portrayed in the movies with Indiana Jones. But it was really more significant than that because it was the place for it was in the Holy of Holies where only the priest could go in and could only go once a year, and it symbolized God's presence. Where the Ark of the Covenant was where God was. That's significant. You need to know that. He gives them some details. He says, when you see, that means what? You got to pay attention. Be on the lookout. Then he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant that symbolized the Lord's presence. But he says, not only the Ark of the Covenant, but the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. I think that's significant. Some of us face some pretty tough struggles and some pretty tough obstacles in our life. But he is the Lord our God only in word. We'll say he's the Lord. But then we decide what we're going to do. Well, I got to tell you, if he's the Lord, you don't really get to decide. You just get to pray to him and figure out what it is he wants you to do. Now, you ultimately have to make the choice, and he lets us choose. But it says, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God. And then he says, carried by the Levitical priests. Now, I think this is important. The priests were the people that God set aside from the tribe of Levi. That's why they call them Levitical priests. All of the tribe of Levi were the priests. And I think it's important that you have somebody in your life. Now, I got to tell you, I think there's a difference between being called out to be a priest and being a Christ follower. Am I a Christ follower? Yes. Am I a priest? Yes. I think that's significant. Now, some of you might say, hey, you just make yourself feel special. No, I've also read the other part that says, hey, when you're called out and God calls you out, you're held to a different standard than everybody else is. But I would tell you this, I think the thing that it points out to us is this, it's important that you have people in your life that you can trust. Hey, if you are seeking financial advice, don't go to somebody who can't pay their bills and don't pay their bills and have filed for bankruptcy. That's not the person to get financial advice from. Be wise about the people in your life who you seek advice from. That's a good principle for all of us. If I was going to seek advice on parenting, I'd like to talk to Billy Graham's mom and dad. They got it right. I don't know that you should talk to my mom and dad. They did good with two of theirs. One of theirs is a little iffy. I always tell my people or tell people that my family was such a squeaky clean family. You're a pretty squeaky clean family when the black sheep of the family turns out to be the preacher. I just say to you, be wise at the people that you let be involved and invested in your life. But I would say this, you got to have those people. You're at a stage of life that your parents are the dumbest people you know. I get it. But I'm going to tell you something. You're at a stage in your life, your parents are fixing to start getting smarter every single day. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody that loves you like they do, so listen. When you think they don't have your best interests at heart, you're wrong. We always have your best interests at heart. Now, it may not look that way, but we do. It's just how moms and dads work. But for all of us to have those people in our lives, those Levitical priests, and then he says, break camp and follow it. I think it's interesting that he says in verse 4, hey, to stay close enough that you know the direction, but don't get too close, don't be irreverent, okay? God says, I'm separate from you. I think different than you do. Now, God sent Jesus that we might have a relationship with him, but that does not mean that we shouldn't be in awe of him, that we shouldn't be respectful, that we shouldn't be fearful. Many of you will remember the story in the Old Testament. Don't get too close to the ark because God said, if you touch it, what? You surely will die. Did that happen? This is yes, this is no. Did that happen? Yes, when it teetered and they touched it, boom, they died. So I say this to you. Stay near to God so that you can determine the direction, but don't ever forget he's not your buddy. He's God, Jehovah, Yahweh, for us too. What's amazing is that he wants us close to him, and he draws us close to him, and he allows us to be in his presence. I think that's significant in the things that we look at. And then Joshua says to them, consecrate yourselves. It's interesting. Consecrate means to clean. That means to be pure white, to be sinless, to be faultless. For us, we can have that forgiveness by asking. But you need to know with forgiveness comes repentance. It means that we work to be who God wants us to be. But it's interesting that he says consecrate yourselves, because you know what's fascinating about consecration? Do you know who Drew can consecrate? Drew. Do you know who Nick can consecrate? Nick. That's all. Nick cannot consecrate Andrea. You can only consecrate yourself. Each of us are responsible for making sure we are aligned with God's will in our life and living the life that God wants us to live, because we are responsible only for us. But Joshua says, get ready, we're going to the promised land. Consecrate yourselves, be where you need to be. Hey, how many of us would like to do something amazing for God? Most all of us would go, hey, I would like to, but I got to tell you, that's really a trick question. Because our job is to consecrate ourselves. It's God's job to show up and show off. Most of us get caught up in the idea that we'd like to do something great and amazing and fantastic and renowned for the Lord, that really what God calls us to do is just consecrate ourselves and be obedient and be faithful and let him do the big stuff. I think it's interesting that he said to consecrate themselves. Moses is dead. Prepare. There's a river in front of us. Listen to the people that God's placed in your life. That's significant. Joshua chapter 3, verses 14. Says, when the people broke camp across the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season, but as soon as the priests carrying the Ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, the city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. Then the priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant stood firmly on the ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Chapter 4, after the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carry them with you, and set them down at the place where you spend the night. So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man for each tribe, and he said to them, go across to the Ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you lift a stone onto his shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean, you should tell them, the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. Hey, when they crossed over, now there's a river behind us. Now what? We've made it past the obstacle. We've moved ahead. God says, choose 12 men and tell them to gather 12 stones. It's interesting that he said, Joshua said, get 12 stones on your shoulder. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of stone do you carry on your shoulder? Right? Hey, when you look back in life, can you see the great things God has done? I think it's interesting that he says, hey, go get the stones out of the middle. The river is behind us. Now what? 12 is significant. Why did he tell him to pick 12? I don't know, but I think it's a significant number. It gives the idea of authority. 12, the number in the Bible, the number 12 signifies authority. There were 12 tribes of Israel. There were 12 disciples for the church. In Revelation, you read that there are 12 gates in the kingdom of heaven and that there are 12 angels that stand guard at each of those gates. But I would say there's a river behind us. Remember what I have done and tell others is what God said. Remember what God has done. Hey, I would say to you this morning, looking back over your life, do you look back over your life and see little things that God has done? Or do you look back over your life and see great things he has done? I got to tell you, there's some little things I see. But there's some great things I see. I will tell you this, at times in life, I thought it was a little thing. And then I got down the road 3 years or 3 months or 15 years, and what I thought was a little thing that God did for me, I figured out wasn't a little thing at all. It was a huge thing. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. When they crossed the river, he said, hey, get some memorial stones, stack them up, because don't ever forget it. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Don't ever forget growing up in Medill, Oklahoma. The Bible says, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You think at 18 you're old, you don't know. You got so much living in front of you. Be wise. Put the things into practice that you've learned. But it's the same for us. It's the same for each of us. What are the things you've learned throughout life? Be wise. Remember the places where God has blessed you. Look at Joshua chapter 4, verses 18 verse 8 through 17. It says the Israelites did just as Joshua had commanded them. The 12 men took stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the camp and set them down there, and Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and the stones are there to this day. The priests carrying the Ark continued standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people, in keeping with all that Moses had commanded them. The people hurried across, and after everyone had finished crossing, the priests with the Ark of the Lord crossed inside of the people. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh went in battle formation in front of the Israelites as Moses had instructed them, and about 40,000 were equipped for war, crossed to the plains of Jericho in the Lord's presence. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of Israel, and they revered him throughout his life, as they had revered Moses. And then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests who carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up from the Jordan. Hey, I want you to catch this. Look in verse 2. Back over in verse 2, it says that God told Joshua to choose 12. Test, test, test. All right, good. All right. All right, so I just want you to. Holy moly. I'm going to tell you, if the devil can't mess stuff up in a microphone, here's what I want you to, but I want you to catch that part. Hey, it's simple. Just do the things that God says to do. So many times we get caught up in trying to think that I would tell you, don't think, just be faithful. When God says do it, just do it. You don't have to think, okay? There's a river behind us. Remember, the last thing, Joshua chapter 4, verses 18 to 24. It says, when the priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan and their feet stepped on solid ground, the waters of the Jordan resumed their course, flowing over all the banks as before. The people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan, and he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones, you should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did at the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, so that you may always fear the Lord your God. Hey, when they finally arrived in Gilgal, when they finally got to the promised land, they are where God had been promising them for 40 years, and they arrived. Now what? It says they crossed over the Jordan. Now, it'd be one thing to cross over the Jordan at that time of the year, but it's totally different to cross over the Jordan at that time of the year on dry ground. That's significant. That's significant. You see, what's fascinating is a lot of times we think it's so amazing that God parted the waters. It said that he stood up the waters at this point, and he let all those waters go ahead and flow right onto the Dead Sea. But I want you to catch something that's so significant to us. Not only did he part the waters and they crossed the Jordan, which is miraculous, but I want to tell you the second miracle that we often overlook and we don't catch. When they got to the other side, there was no mud on their shoes. You see, God didn't just part the waters. He dried the ground. I want you to know that's the God we serve. He takes care of the details. Most of us this morning have never once in our life thought about the fact that it said they crossed on dry ground. We just think it's great that he parted the waters. But I want you to know this. When we're faithful to do what God calls us to do, God takes care of extra details that we don't even think about. They didn't even have muddy shoes when they got to the other side. What have you heard that I did for your parents? He says to them. He reminds them, hey, I've parted the water not only of the Jordan, but if you'll remember, for your parents and your grandparents, I parted the waters of the Red Sea, chasing them. But he said, what I've done for your parents and your grandparents at the Red Sea, I've also done for you. I want you to know you got your own story. Why? God said, this is the reason why, so that all the people of the earth may know the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord. Why did God part the waters? So that we could tell them God is mighty, and so that we would remember to always fear the Lord. You are where you are because of the Lord. Some of you have required some pretty good protection up to this point. Now, that protection's been provided by a lot of different people, but predominantly by the Lord. Don't sell short what God's done in your life. Don't sell short what you can do for Him to make Him known. We have arrived, so get ready. I think there are battles, there are miracles. You're going to have some highs, you're going to have some lows. Things for you to accomplish and things for you to conquer, things for you to see and things for you to experience. But I got to tell you this, it's story of Joshua. If I said to you this morning, we're going to talk about Joshua, what's the story that most of us think of when we think of Joshua? Jericho. The story that we think of with Joshua is Jericho.
I want you to know this. God has made him the leader to follow Moses. And he's brought him over the obstacle. He's given him memorial stones to look back at what God has brought him through. But I want you to know this. Joshua is not done. It's in two chapters that we read about the story that we all know about Joshua, that he conquered Jericho by marching. Right? I would tell you this. You've reached a great accomplishment. I would tell you this. You're in a great place in life, but I'd tell you God's not done with you. I believe there's still a Jericho in the front of each one of us. You are not done just getting started, but I would tell you this. Out of that whole story, what's that was our responsibility? Consecrate yourself. Before you take your next step, we all get worried about what is our next step. Here's what I'd say to you. Before you take your next step, whether you know it or whether you don't, there's one key ingredient. And it's that you consecrate yourself. That's the invitation to you this morning. Before you take your next step, are you where you need to be? Are you being faithful to what God created you for? Are you seeking and serving His plan in your life? If you're not, I want you to know the prayer altars are open. Alex and Drew and myself will be here to pray with you. That's for you seniors. I don't care that you got a robe on. You can come pray in a robe. We'll pray with you. But that's the same for each of you out there. But don't forget this. Smokey Bear said, only you can prevent forest fires. Joshua said, only you can consecrate you. If this morning you're not where you need to be to take the next step God has for you, this morning consecrate yourselves. Let's pray.